Hello and welcome to Ghost Beats, a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
I need to do a new intro.
Why?
For some reason, saying "by my wife Becca" like fucks up my mouth every time.
I don't know. I wonder what this will look in the transcript.
Oh Lord. Yeah, I'll figure something out. But anyway, so we just watched Leviathan from 1989. It's directed by George P. Cosmatos. And looking at his biography, I mean, this guy, he did like Rambo Part 2 and like an action movie called Cobra from the 80s. And like, that's the kind of vibe of his work. He also directed Tombstone. But I think it does feel like this is if you took a director who's making those kind of action movies and say, make an Alien, make a version of Alien for us. And that's kind of what you get.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of sums it up. Cause this is a weird one that for whatever reason, recently I keep hearing people talk about this movie and I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah. I'd never heard of it either.
I think it's like a pretty well-regarded like B sci-fi movie from that era that I don't know, I just completely missed somehow. But I decided might as well check it out since I keep hearing people talk about it. And man, what a silly fucking movie.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I was expecting going into it. I heard people say it's like Alien and like The Thing. It's like that kind of era of horror. But I guess what's funny is right now I'm listening to another podcast called Halloweenies, and they're doing a series on the Alien movies. And listening to that and then watching this, it feels like they were really trying to just make Alien. You know what I mean?
That's just a weird decision, honestly.
Yeah. It seems like that kind of ushered in this new era of like sci-fi horror. And instead of saying like, yeah, let's make something like kind of similar to that, they were like, no, let's just make that again, but with less money. And that's kind of what you get. And I think the movie is really fun. Like, yeah. I definitely enjoyed it, like for what it is, you know, but maybe not like an excellent horror movie, just like a silly, like campy, you know, B movie.
That's how I thought of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe partly because I'm listening to that podcast, that's like all I could think watching it, because it's kind of like beat by beat, it's imitating Alien, except it's underwater.
Yeah.
And even that, I don't know if that's just us, but in the beginning, it was like kind of confusing figuring out like, oh, they're underwater.
Yeah.
Because they make it look like space.
Yeah, it looks like they're on a different planet.
Yeah.
So
all the trappings are like very space-like. And there's even like, there's a, I guess it's supposed to be like a deep sea spider that just looks like a face hugger. And that really threw me off. Is like, is this supposed to be like an alien? Because it does not look like a real deep sea spider. You know what I mean? It looks like a little monster. But they're really trying to do that, you know, make it like very sci-fi, very much like space. But I guess the whole concept was like, no, we'll do it underwater. It makes it different enough. You know what I mean? But it's very silly. Maybe not the best performances. Had a lot of like very recognizable, like I had the dude from Home Alone in there.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a certain tier of actor. I don't want to like say anything insulting, but you know what I mean? Like, it's recognizable faces from like that era.
Yeah.
Just very random seeing them in this, but everything felt like, yeah, definitely felt kind of cheap, you know, like it's trying to do the, you know, rugged, realistic setting like an Alien. But everything just feels a little too like low budget.
Yeah.
And we kept laughing about all the computer screens cause they're just like completely fucking indecipherable.
Yeah. You'd have no clue what really anyone's doing on the ship. It's just like, they're just kind of like beep, boop, bop.
Exactly. Like, that was a thing. I think in Alien, they specifically tried to make everything look like usable and real and like make sense and not just be random lights. And in this, you could see it's the whole nature of it is it just doesn't quite get why Alien was so successful. You know, like they're not taking it that extra mile. Yeah, so many of the computer graphics, it's like, I don't even know what they're trying to do right now. It's just like random pictures and stuff. It's like, yeah, future shit. But it was a really fun time, though. I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was still funny.
Yeah.
I mean, probably parts that might not supposed to be funny, but it was
still
funny. Well,
that's still fun. I mean, that's like the Sleepaway Camp type of
Sleepaway
thing,
Camp,
you know?
Is a different.
I'm not trying to say it's the same tier. But you know what I mean? It's things that are like really goofy, but they're legitimately funny. So it just adds to the movie, you know? I don't want to like drag them too bad for that.
No.
Because if you're still having a good time, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And the creature effects, too. Like, there were some creature effects that were pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, totally give that away right now since we aren't talking spoilers.
Yeah.
But there are some, like, legitimately pretty good-looking effects. There's some that are maybe a little cheaper, maybe a little, like, not really using the lighting, you know, to kind of hide stuff. It falls for that stuff, too. But overall, glad I saw it. It's, like, a very fun movie from that era.
Yeah, it was still a fun movie to watch, you know. Yeah. Hang out.
Yeah. Did you have like any expectations going into this?
No.
You said you hadn't heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
I will say I had like a small expectation when you compared it to Alien.
Oh, yeah.
I think you said that and I was like, oh, okay. But
I seriously didn't realize like how close it was. You know, like it's, man. But yeah, it was very fun. So I'm glad I saw it. The movies like this are fun to kind of discover because they're out there. And it's that was one of the things we talked about in Sleepaway Camp, is that the way people say like, oh, it's so bad, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's like there is something about that.
Yeah, there is.
Where it's like, I don't even want to, you know, drag it too bad for the stuff it does wrong because it still is just really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. So I guess you're ready to talk about spoilers?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. So I guess the plot overall in this movie is like, I guess it's a deep sea crew that's like mining something. You know, they're very gobbledygook with all the language where it's like, yeah, if we do this by Tuesday, we get paid this much. And it's like, I still don't know what you're doing, but okay. Like that sounds realistic enough. And, but they uncover it really, I didn't put this together watching the movie, I'll be honest. Maybe you can explain. Because the whole thing is that they discover this ship called the Leviathan at the bottom of the ocean. And I guess it was some ship that like mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah.
And so they grab some stuff from there. And there's like a flask with some kind of liquid in it that turns them into monsters.
Yeah.
And there seemed to be a bigger like anti-corporate message where I guess they were testing something on the people in the Leviathan.
I don't know.
That's the part that like, yeah, I totally miss. Like, it seemed very much like it was some experimental thing that they tried to shove under the rug. I don't fucking know. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't follow it.
Yeah, I'll say there were times where I was kind of in and out of the movie.
Yeah.
It was just like a little too much dialogue happening about things that it was like, what does this have to do with anything?
Yeah.
But what I gathered from it was possibly there was like some sort of infection or mutation that like broke out on the ship or something. So they had to sink it to save everybody. So
yeah, it seemed like I think it was some kind of bioweapon or something. Because when it would take over people, I guess the Leviathan title applies to the fact that the creature, it kind of absorbs people into it and just keeps growing and getting bigger. So that was something that was pretty cool and creepy about it, that it gets so big, it's starting to like span the ship, you know? But right away in the beginning, when the crewmates are kind of hanging out and stuff, you could tell they're trying to do like, you know, cool banter, like get to know all the different character types and stuff. But it felt kind of like awkward and like the character tropes maybe a little dated. Like there's the dude who's just super horny all the time.
I feel like
that's like this whole character.
Well, yeah, I feel like that character really overpowered all the other characters for a long time.
Yeah.
And that was very confusing too.
Was that the guy named Sixpack?
Yes.
That we were getting so confused about.
It's the guy from
from Home Alone. Yeah.
He plays the same character.
Yeah, but well, maybe sort not. I don't think they lean into that so much in a kids movie, because he is definitely like just horny as shit. Well, and like, yeah. Of course, there's the one like hot female person who he's just sexually harassing all the time.
She's just like existing. And like,
I know.
It's, yeah.
And like, that's her trope in the beginning, is to be sexually harassed and get angry. And that just feels like very
80s. Angry. Yeah.
So yeah, that was a bit much. And we also like, I hate to say it, because Peter Weller, he's like such an amazing, I mean, he's RoboCop. You know what I mean? Everybody loves Peter Weller. But he is like fucking cardboard in this movie.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know what happened there. It just, I could not understand that character. The acting was, I don't want to be mean.
I know. It's so hard because really don't want to be mean. But I think it added to the charm a little bit. Just how like stiff he is in the middle of everything. There was a part early on though that stood out to me, because I remember I mentioned that I keep hearing about this movie. Like, it keeps getting brought up randomly. I think one of them was a post on like the aquarium subreddit, where there's a part early on where he reaches in a fish tank and is like messing with the fish inside there, and people are like upset about like animal abuse in films back then.
Well, yeah, it was bad.
Well, yeah,
there was a lot of abuse happening in a lot of different areas.
The fish people were very sensitive, which I understand completely.
Of course.
But it's funny seeing that, because it was like, oh yeah, I did see somebody posted about it. Like, it's so random. But I guess that's like a sign of the times in a way. Mm-hmm. I will say, when the creature first comes out and it's that weird like slug thing that attacks that one dude, that was the one part in the movie. Like, a lot of it was very like cheesy.
Yeah.
That part was pretty frightening. I think it did a really good job, because it like latches on to him and he's like freaking out. Mm-hmm. It definitely is trying to be like the chest burster scene in Alien. But that part was pretty creepy. Like, the way it just looked very horrifying, and you could see the other guy freaking out, and he's like, just stay here. He's like locking the door, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on in there? So that part like stood out, I think, the most to me. Because a lot of the stuff with the creature, the design never really made a lot of sense.
Yeah, you never really get to fully understand what's happening with the creature.
Yeah, but it just winds up feeling very disorganized, because the little pieces you get are like long tentacle things, and then like the human people that are inside of it have their faces there.
Yeah, they're like morphed together.
Yeah, but then there's like a big creature head with big teeth. So it's like they can't really decide, you know, what kind of monster they want to go for here. So it just feels like a very confusing.
Yeah. When they first introduced the character, the creature, it seemed like it reminded me of Society.
Oh, yeah. We were talking like, about that. Like,
yeah.
Well, they don't have Screaming George or whatever his name is from Society.
I mean, that did look kind of cool, and I think because I do love that movie too, like special effects wise, I was like, okay, this has potential, and then it kind of like dropped there. It was like nothing else happened.
We need to talk about Society on here, because that we love Society.
Yeah.
But I will say, there was one part that I thought was really effective with that, when one of the characters is like looking down a hallway and gets confused, and he's like, I just saw so-and-so, like one of the guys that disappeared. And it's because it's the face on the creature that's like in the light for a second and then disappears. And I thought that was super creepy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good way to utilize that. So it feels like there are little bits and pieces in this that really stand out and just kind of get dragged down a bit by the quality of the rest of the movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's got like this little bits of like shining parts shining through.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's just a certain like tier of sci-fi. And the soundtrack too was very 80s. Like, and it was so funny. We noticed that like early on there was so much corny like 80s action music. And then the part later on when they're like gearing up and all getting weapons and shit, it's like dead silent.
it's so like, weird.
Well, hold on. Like, I don't know what you're trying to do here to make it like real serious, but you should just lean into being an 80s action movie.
I need to see a version of that edited with actual 80s
music. I know.
Because, like, I feel like it missed
that. Cool as shit,
like,
yeah.
Like, how do you... You're living in the era where that is happening. Why did they not do that?
And they're pulling out, like, chainsaws and axes and, like, giant flamethrowers and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, the props were, like, really crazy.
So ridiculous.
Like, actual fire on set.
Yeah, they just have, like, 1,000 weapons suddenly. But it did have some really funny dialogue, too, that we... I think we wanted to, like, pull sound bites out of this. Because there was the part where when they're first talking about it, they're saying that they think it needs blood, and it's like it's trying to steal the blood bags and everything. And the one guy's like, "Well, we got some kind of Dracula." And it's like, "What? Like, bro, that's your takeaway from this?" Like, "Oh shit, we got Bram Stoker's Dracula on here." It's so fucking silly.
And the way that the line was delivered was just so perfect. Yeah. Too.
Yeah, and then at the end, so let's talk about the ending. Might as well
the
get there.
The ending is just interesting.
The ending is so funny because they escape using incomprehensible technology. It's just like, because we were like, can you just go to the surface like that? I'm pretty sure you would die from decompression.
Implode.
But the way they get around it is when they're floating up, there's a screen in their little suits that says like decompressing. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, since you said it, I guess, I don't know if that's how it works actually, but... They thought that far.
Well, this was supposed to be 2027, 2029, I think, maybe.
That's even funnier.
I'm not sure.
But it was like, yeah, I guess, sure. Like, they addressed that. And then there's, it's like the big, fun, happy 80s movie ending where they're, like, emerging from the water and the happy music is playing and everything. But then it's like they just can't end it. Like, first they get attacked by sharks, which is like, what? Like, sharks? Like, what is happening? Like, it was so fucking random.
I don't understand why they brought the sharks. Like,
I don't,
it did not
I don't
need
know.
That.
But yeah, it's just like sharks are attacking them and it's like, oh, okay, now we're okay. And then another monster appears and it starts attacking them on the surface.
Yeah, and then the one guy dies.
Oh, did he die? I couldn't remember if he got saved or not.
I don't know. He just, like, sunk underwater, so I assumed.
I was starting to feel like, are they going to really kill the black guy at the end of the fucking movie?
I know, right when they're
like,
about to escape.
What are we doing? Yeah. And, but there was, the way that he defeats the monster is to basically say, he goes, say, ah, motherfucker, and he, like, Kobe's a fucking bomb into the monster's mouth.
I mean... I feel like you have to say it how it was delivered, because it feels like he was just kind of lightly shouting. He's like, say, motherfucker.
He's still playing RoboCop in this movie. But yeah, that, Jesus Christ. It's so of that era.
How do you do that, but you don't do the gear up montage music?
Yeah, I know. Maybe they just forgot. But yeah, it was fun. It was maybe not quite... what I was expecting. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be this kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
But it was really fun for what it is.
Yeah.
For sure. I can see why people like it. Do you have anything else?
I mean, the whole movie technically could have been avoided if they had just not drank that flask, it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't really touch on, like, the whole corporate angle with the lady who is, like, lying to them the whole time. And telling him that, like, oh, they can't be rescued because there's a hurricane. And at the very end, when they run into her, he just punches her in the face. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, okay.
That was an odd ending. Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess you could still do that and something else. But, like, it just ended.
Well, it's funny because as soon as I saw her, I was like, if that was a dude, he would just punch him and that would be the end. Because that felt like 80s as shit. And then, yeah, he just punches the lady. Yeah. It's like they didn't care. They still had to keep that trope. But I guess that's it. You can find us on ghostbeast.com, or you can search for Ghostbeast Pod or follow Ghostbeast on Letterboxd. You can also contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Bye-bye.